You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
with your night. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, you got it done anyway. You know it. It just stands to reason. A brother or sister like yourself, who is diligent, committed, and so forth. Yeah, we ain't worried about it. You're going to get it done. And that's what should be done. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and in the drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But, of course, there's a shortcut. Whatever search engine you use, you know, put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Yeah, a little difficulty there, brothers and sisters. I appreciate your patience. And sometimes, and I tell you, it's tripped out because it seems like, you know, is there, I was on it, and then went back to it to get on it, to get on radio, and well, anyway. Once again, thank you, my brother Kwaku, for your constant assistance. This is African Perspectives. Once again, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. This evening, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central, with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ntaki Kamban, and sometimes Dr. Kamal Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, make sure you go to WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. My good brother, Bomani Tahemba, who is taking our people for a trip of a lifetime. He's been doing it for years, over 500. And, of course, he will be doing it again in May 24th to June 5th. And that is going to Ghana. And then November 17th to the 28th, going to Tanzania. December 24th to January 5th, going to Ghana. And that trip is 4,000. The other ones are 38. But this one is also 3,800. And that is March 31st to April 10th, going to Senegal and Gambia. It was the one that was postponed or rescheduled to March 31st to April 10th. And, of course, contact Brother Bomani. Give him a call. You can email him. at African for the Africans. Or his email address, excuse me.
That is AFTA2010 at MSN.com. AFTA2010 at MSN.com. His phone number is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And that's a fact, because that's what we need. That's what Africa needs. Education, information. Habashah, those are outstanding work. Some of their programs are Habashah Works Program, and it's here in Atlanta, but they're also with the Kashi Project in Ghana. Okay, Black to Our Roots, the Golden Grower, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Greens Jobs, all kinds of good stuff. And of course, the international launch of the Kashi Project in Ghana, October 8th through the 17th in Ghana, West Africa. Should be dynamic. Okay, I hear you. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. LEDGE program. They work in the four areas of human existence that are necessary and needed and vital, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of LEDGE. TheLedgeGroup.com. Abibi Atumi. ABIBITUMI.com. ABibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to ABibiAtumi.com. The great news feeds, the groups, forums, shops, stuff that they sell, events that are happening, the language courses that they offer. You know, you can take a Khan language. You can take Kiswahili. You can take Medu Nature. All those things are offered on bibiatumi.com. ABIBITUMI.com. Smai Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. Smai Pharmacy. Contact my good brother. Brother Jabril at 731-737-6229. That's 731-327-6229. SmilePharmacy.com. SmilePharmacy.com. Go on the webpage at SmilePharmacy.com and check it out for yourself. All right, dear brothers. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located at the in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy. Delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and pies and all kind of good stuff. And on weekends, they have vegan food where they serve on Saturday and Sunday, vegan dinners. Okay, that's Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, right across the street on Ralph E. Abernathy from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Contact Mama Nia if you're looking for a book. She may have it already, but if she doesn't, she'll get it for you. Right there in the Greenbrier Mall. Her number is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My good brother, Gazim Dejamu, with the Black Dog Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. Give my good brother, Gazim Dej, a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. And Afroletics, and along with other businesses in the new Black Wall Street Market, located in Stonecrest, right off of I-20. If you're in Atlanta, then you're going to go east. Going to go east like you're going towards Augusta. And they stay east, and you'll pass my good brother Kazimde at Lithonia. In fact, it's the next exit, Turner Hill Road. Make a right and two lights, and then it's right on the left. It's an old Target. That's where the new Black Wall Street Market is located. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast is every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us. If you want to call to listen or to give questions, comments, or concerns on their Thursday night broadcast, it's from 9 p.m. to 10. From 9 p.m. to 10. And the number to dial is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village, they're not open on Mondays. They're open from Tuesdays to Sunday. They're closed on Mondays. But check them out at Homeland Village. Give my good brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. So if you're in the Macon area, please give them a call and stop in at the Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop and all kind of bookstore. He does it all right there, brothers. He even has a restaurant. That's right. He was at a vegan restaurant right in the shop, man. That's right on, Brother Abijah. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. For more information, contact Sister Shelley Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby has been doing great work working with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti up in the hill, so they ain't getting no funding, y'all. They rely strictly on those who were kind enough and good enough to understand their mission and what they're doing to donate. Go to Sanjay, SONJAY-HAITI.org. SONJAY-HAITI.org. Okay. Baba Baruti, Akabin Institute. Brothers and sisters, go to Akabin Institute. P.O. Box. Make your check and money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That's P.O. Box 10786, 30310. Or you can use Cash App. Cash App, Baruti at Yahoo for Cash App. I mean, for PayPal, excuse me. Mama Yah, N-E-Yah. Or you can use Cash App at $Yah, M, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make your donation. Also, too, for the books, Baba Baruti's prolific writer, go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. Baba Baruti has his course, the Identity Course, establishing African Identity Register. And, of course, the course begins on Wednesday. Wednesday evening is 4 straight weeks, held each Wednesday, March 2nd through the 23rd, from 7:30 to 9 p.m., hour and a half. Adults, $60 for the course or $20 per class. If it's $20 per class, that would be $80, so you save $20. $45 course for the youth and $15 per class. So you see the savings right there. So register early enough. If you want further information, contact Baba Baruti at yahoo.com or give him a call at 404-753-7237. That's 404-753-7237. And, of course, if you're registering, you know, make it out. That's it too. PayPal, yahbaruti at yahoo.com. For PayPal, yahbaruti at yahoo.com. Or Cash App, $ Yah M Baruti. And of course, put the information in that's pertinent. Identity course, your name, your email address, where they can send you the streaming information. It begins this Wednesday, brothers and sisters, this Wednesday. The Inyesesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyesesim. I tell you, always good information. February 27th. Whoever is unconcerned with his lineage has lost his mind. Whoever neglects his origin, his stupidity has become critical. Whoever is unaware of his ancestors, his incompetence has become immense. Timbuktu poem of the 15th century, the 1400s. We have to stop equating the idea of what is modern with that of progress. The changes people produce over time to enhance their knowledge, confront, and sense of security are primarily technological in nature, i.e. simply different ways of doing what is always needed to be done. They are not changing what needs to be done, only how what needs to be done is done. Technology is technology. When it comes to technology, the true measure of importance is the spirit of its application. We have to stop creating erroneous parallels between the ideas of advanced technology and so-called Western genius, making them necessarily one and the same. And we have to overcome our fixation on modern as if it's anything other than a haughty Eurocentric temporal designation, as if anything other than Eurocentric word. We have to stop equating the contemporary world order with a liberating progressive superiority and the past with a stifling regressive inferiority. Affirm, I am a carrier of African cultural technology. I say, affirm, I am a carrier of African cultural technology. That's how important history is. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's right. February 28th, this last day of African and American African History Month. When a black man has his lady, he has everything. B.B. King, knowing that we are nothing without our warrior women and everything with them, the time has come for frontline African men to use all of our remembrance and vision to collectively construct a functional, enduring African reality which will immediately, directly, and concretely, and fully benefit our women. To this end, we must use our thoughts to conceive of an empowered sacred space within our women can be the kind of warriors they are brought here to be. We must use our words to speak into existence an unqualified, uncompromising sovereignty, which, without them, we cannot adequately imagine and will never attain. And we must use our mental and physical muscle to complete the task which they identify as being necessary for establishing and securing the kind of deep, loving African community they intuitively desire and in which they will naturally thrive. While this is a charge to African men, the same applies to African women relative to African men. I say, affirm I have everything. Affirm I have everything because I got my woman. I say, men got their women and women got their men. That's right. We need each other. Complementarity is a must. Yeah, so I apologize about that. That was unfortunate. But we're here and we're going to carry on and do what we got to do. You know, that's how the program works. You know, just because something happens, that don't stop the show. You continue to, don't get too rattled. And do whatever you got to do. Do whatever you got to do. Let me see here. Yeah, okay. I haven't read this in quite a while, but, you know, since this is the last day of African and American African History Month, or the history of African people, it is vitally important that we understand the importance of this month, not that we do not celebrate our history 24/7, 365, because we do. It's imperative it's a month, but because we are in an environment that is anti-African, that's why it is important. And Carter G. Woodson understood this when he established the week, Negro History Week, in the middle of February. And it was important to understand. I didn't know about, you know, whether one want to argue about it was Jesse Jackson who pushed the government to establish a month or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. They recognize it has a month. And to me, damn the government, because I'm saying whether we had kept it a week to focus in on that or now a month to focus in on that, because we are bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of our inferiority, of our inability to do anything. It's just as if they believe that we were running, or make us believe that we were running around a jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, of any worth, of any note. And we know that is not the truth. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. We are letting Europeans and Chinese and Indians and Arabs fight over the mineral wealth that is rightfully ours. It's a damn shame. We have everything we need. The only thing that we don't have, that's why this month is important. Because at least it gives you a chance to begin to change your mind. It gives you a chance to think beyond the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us and think outside of that and to release the vice grip that these crackers have on our minds by infusing ourselves with knowledge of who we are and the things that we have done and continue to do. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's serious. It's serious out there, family. Yes, it is. Okay. I always want to read this one. This is... This was said by Lord Macaulay in his address to Parliament on the 2nd of February. Our month, right? Yeah. 1835. He said, I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who was a beggar, who was a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, which with such high moral values, people of such caliber that I did not think we could ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. I hate when that shit comes to pass. Don't you? I do too. Yeah. When Kwame Nkrumah said this was in 1961, the speech of freedom, they'd have four years of having broken away from England, from Britain, the first country to gain its so-called freedom from the colonizer. He said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity and innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of other, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, you know, and directed to the good of all mankind. One federal government, one Africa, one Pan-African state, one Africa. Yes, they can still be Zulu, Ashanti, Kuriu, whatever. But most important, they're Africa. They're Africans working for the betterment of Africa in the world. In a place where Africans, wherever they are, can be respected. Africans trying to get out of Ukraine, and the Ukrainians and any and everybody else is kicking them off the train, putting them at the back. We have no friends. So yeah, you can write the shit about how they're treated. Yes, because they've been writing and been doing it for decades. Until we unify, until we come together, this will always happen. And we'll be always writing about it and saying how sad it is and how bad it is. Well, damn it, do something about it. And the only thing you really can do about, only thing you can do about it is make sure that you understand that African people must unite and work towards the unification of African people. That's the only. After saying what Kwame Nkrumah said at his speech for freedom in 1961, sometime later he said this, sadly. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Oh, how right he was. How sad and pathetic it is. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of Europeans, their thought and their behavior, in order to understand the effects that Europeans have had on our ability to think, to even think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered worldview. Because why? We are Africans. And because the future towards which the European leads us is genocide. You know it. You know it. It's genocide. But yet, we're sometimes too afraid to deal with it. That's the thing. The European put that fear. That fear. Yeah. A little bit of a review for this month, you know. Hope you had a chance to go to some programs. Hope you learned something. Hope you took your children, grandchildren. They learned something, you know. Because I know that it's important that we learn something on a daily basis. Weekly basis, monthly, that we learn something that culminates within the year that we have acquired a lot of good information to make us think differently. Sometimes I think about when I used to have some conversations at the firehouse early on, I didn't know what I know now. Because if I knew what I knew now, I'd kick them crackers' ass. I'd shut them son of a bitches up. Yeah, I can see I'm fired up. Yeah, I am. Because it's frustrating. It's frustrating to continuously to see the situation and the weak-ass leadership, the misleadership we have, to see it constantly happening. It's very frustrating. I guess for me, and I keep thinking, you know, because I have more days behind me than I have ahead of me, and that I would love to see the progress of us moving in the direction of Pan-Africanism, moving in the direction of sovereignty, of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. I would love to see us moving in that direction in mass, not just a fringe of us. Not to feel, I love us. I love the brothers and sisters in this particular movement to do this, but I would love to see us in a mass, not everybody, I understand that, but at least the voices are strong enough. The organization is strong enough. The movement is strong enough that that's the direction that we're going. It is acknowledged on the continent. It is understood in the diaspora that that's what's happening to for African people, that we are coming together, that we are unifying, that no longer are we going to believe the lies that have been said and told, that there is help for us, that those who have wherewithal are helping financially, physically, whatever way possible to bring it into existence, to bring it into reality. And they're not afraid. They're not scared of the European. And this ain't about no damn. If it's war, then let it be. But it ain't about that. It is about us reclaiming, recapturing, restoring who we are. And we have every right to do so. That's why this month is important. That's why you need to focus in on it. That's why you need to bring your children and so forth. It is vitally important. But it's important every day. Because every day is an attack on your Africanness, on your blackness. My good friend, Brother Muhammad, called me up, and we were talking for quite a while. I guess Smokey Robinson was on one of the daytime talk shows, and he reiterated what I didn't like about what Smokey did on Def Comedy Jam maybe a decade or so ago, maybe longer, when he had his poem about liking being black. He said he didn't like being African. See, and you know, when he threw that out there like that, it just hurt me because, I mean, you know, sometimes there's people you like them for what they bring, but outside of that, yeah, you know, you like Smokey for the music he's made, the things he's contributed to. You know, but from as it relates to us, well, there are many more people like Smokey and others who, you know, when the European did what he did, for many of us, made us hate. Why do you think still to this day in 2022, bleaching cream is sold big time globally? Because the European has made, the Caucasians made it happen that many people in many countries were, because a lot of places, melanated people were there before anybody, but made them feel ashamed to be melanated. Made them lighten their skin, bleach their skin. You know, I often said that Michael Jackson didn't have to, if he did have vitiligo, you know, the kind of money and preparations, he could have, you know, kept his melanated skin. So it wasn't like he got vitiligo and he automatically turned white. No. He wanted to be white. He wanted to be white. You know, we're going to talk after the break. I hope you can stay on the line and join the conversation about this month and how important you think it is and why we should, you know, further promote it and do some things that further helps us understand our roots, our connections, our brotherhood, our sisterhood, our peoplehood. But also, too, the obstacles that we face. I'm going to talk about some inventors. Maybe you had a chance to learn about some inventors. It's always really deep when you consider what brothers and sisters have done in spite of racism, segregation, poor schooling. I mean, so many negative things. So many obstacles, and yet, as Maya Angelou would say, still we rise. Still we rise. When you look at the list of inventions that we created, many times while enslaved and couldn't get a patent, There was a documentary called Inventions. Glenn Turman is the host, and he's doing the moderating. It's only about half hour. I used to have a list of inventions and showed that DVD and talked about some of the great things that we had done. And that list is short. It's just like the documentary is only a half hour. It highlights a few things and a few people, you know. And the things that we have done are miraculous because of the abilities of African people, the genius of African people. And you see it all the time. You see it all the time. So we're going to take a break, you know, and then we're going to come back from the break. And I'm also going to talk about during this month, the creation of the Black Panther Party. You know, and why the party was necessary then, and the party, you know, it had its heyday, but there have been those just like Malik Zulu Shabazz, who was working with Khalid Muhammad to revive the Black Panthers, and of course Michael McGee in Milwaukee. He revived the Panthers in Milwaukee before Khalid Muhammad. Down in Texas, then other ones sprung up in my good brother King Rick, you know, the biggest panther in the jungle in Milwaukee. It's been doing some great things, you know, because if those stores don't treat our people right, if they don't treat our people right, him and his brothers and sisters march in, demand to speak to whoever the owner is, the manager, and tell them what the hell went down and the fact of what they're going to do. The Black Panther Party was created for self-defense and to defend our community. So we'll talk about that. And if you have any thing that you want to talk about, something that happened this month that was significant, you know, please give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blocktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Sister Janetta Harris on saxophone. All I do is think about you. And then, of course, Renee. Althea Renee on flute. We are one. Outstanding. I tell you. We are one. Just want to drive that point home, you know what I'm saying? Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Lataki Kamban. And at 9, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 p.m. On Saturdays at 7 p.m. to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council, and then on Sunday, once again, at 7, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. This is the last day of February. I call it African and American African History Month. Because we ain't black, they ain't white, but of course I know, you know. In fact, I was talking about Smokey, who doesn't want to be called African, he want to be black. And see, that's why I'm saying for us, we need to draw that line. Because see, being black and African, they're different. I know we use them interchangeably, and many of us believe that, but there's a lot of us who black. You know, and some of us don't want to be white, but we want to be like what whites got. We want their jobs. We want their women. We want their houses. We want their promotions. We want their car. We want to really, you know, we want to be white in blackface. See, we want to be white in blackface. We don't want Africa. We don't want them hairstyles. We don't want to. Daishikis and Gaylays and Grand Boobahs. No, we don't want none of that. No. We black. And to me, a line has to be drawn at a particular stage in this struggle of ours that says, either you are with us, and if you are, come on. But if you're not, peace out. Peace out. Let's move. Because I know we're not going to get the vast majority of our people in this struggle for our liberation. That's a fact, and I think y'all know that. But what we must do is work with what we have. Begin to move with what we have. The most important thing, of course, is to educate, enlighten, inform. I mentioned this many times about European Jews who, particularly in this country, I'm quite sure it's everywhere because they're networked. They have their synagogues. They have their centers. But yet they send their children to public schools, good public schools, rather. You know, maybe even develop a private school or parochial school. It could be Catholic. But they don't teach them what it means to be European Jews. That's the synagogue. That's the center's job. You know, for English, for writing, for science, for math, and whatever. Yeah. But no, we handle that. And that's what we should do. We should set up schools on the weekend. I often said this as well. I even proposed this to ASCAC. I said, ASCAC should develop an educational program that once a week on the weekend, you know,
It's just like Sunday school in the Baptist church. The lesson is this Sunday is this, and that is the lesson in Bible school across the country. All the churches are teaching this lesson. It should be the same way that we're teaching our children. These are the lessons. That's what should happen. And then when we teach our children these lessons, they'll have pride in who they are. And they know that they can accomplish whatever because we continue to accomplish whatever. They'll know about, like, Otis Boykin, the electronics engineer who helped create the pacemaker. They'll know about Percy Julian, the chemist. I remember watching a piece on Percy Julian. They tried to burn him out of his house. They know about all, you know what, all these kids today should know about Gerald Lawson. That's the brother who invented the origin of the video game market. You know, they should all know about him. That a brother did that. It wasn't just Sega and PlayStation. A brother did that. Kenneth Dunkley, the inventor of the 3D glasses. Oh, man, Dr. Charles Drew. Dr. Charles Drew, who invented the blood bank, taking blood from a person and separating the white blood cells from the red and for blood plasma, died because he was black, because he was American African, and the nearest hospital would not accept him. Had to go cross many miles and died. The irony. Dr. Charles Drew. They have the Dr. Charles Drew Medical Center in UCLA. That's where Dr. Patricia Bath was teaching. She's the one that created the laser probe for cataract surgery. She was an ophthalmologist. She's the one that created that. She just died, what, a year or two ago, a few years ago? You know, Vivian Thomas, inventor of the Blue Baby Syndrome treatment. What Has God Brought? Is that what the name of the movie? Vivian Thomas was played by Mos Def. And Reichman played the doctor. Reichman played the doctor that he worked with at Johns Hopkins University Hospital. In fact, that doctor's face was, his portrait was hanged in the hallways of Johns Hopkins. And when Vivian Thomas died, his was right next to his. A little bit right about Vivian Thomas, because this brother was extraordinary because he never got a doctorate, but his genius. See, sometimes yes, you need education, but sometimes for some of us, so innately dynamic that it comes to us. He was born in Louisiana from a carpenter as a father. Vivian Thomas received good education, but his dream to enter the medical school was crushed by the Great Depression, which engulfed his savings. He became a carpenter Then at the age of 20, he was hired as a technician in the laboratory of Surgeon Alfred Blaylock. Alfred Blaylock from 1910 to 1964 at the University of Vanderbilt in Nashville. Blaylock was impressed. That's Blaylock's year, and he died in 64. And he was at the University of Nashville. Blaylock was impressed by the intelligence of Vivian Thomas and taught him the human anatomy on the field. Thomas was paid like a cleaner, yet in the mid-30s, he was already performing the equivalency of postdoctoral research work. he carried out surgical instruments with less evolved technical equipment as compared to today. Thomas and Dr. Blaylock succeeded in proving that the crush syndrome, of which a lot of parents were dying, was not due to bleeding, as generally admitted, but to the muscular toxins emissions. After experiment of the vascular reparations for that disease on animals without success, Blaylock was able to confirm that the hypothesis he had been acknowledging worldwide, that discovery allowed savings of thousands of lives during the 1939-1945 World War II. At the same moment, Blaylock and his assistants started to experiment open heart operations on large scale and was going to lead into a revolution in the medical field. Thanks to this new reputation, Dr. Blaylock accepted a position as a senior surgeon at Johns Hopkins, the best medical school in the U.S., when he asked Vivian Thomas to come along. When he arrived in Baltimore in a university location with his wife and two daughters, Vivian Thomas faced an ambiance of racism and segregation worse than in the South. He suffered, well, Baltimore is still the South. He suffered to find accommodations. And in 1943, Blaylock was approached by Dr. Helen Tesling, a cardiologist, pediatrician, who was asked for solutions to solve a complex heart problem called tachycardia of Fallot, which makes the child look blue because of the lack of oxygen in the blood, hence the term blue baby. She mentioned the possibilities of a surgical operation by reconnecting the blood vessels. Blaylock assigned Vivian Thomas to conduct research on the matter. He had a lot of confidence in Vivian Thomas. Like I said, Vivian Thomas is played in a movie by Mos Def. And Rickman is the guy that was in, the bad guy in, what was that movie with? I'll get it come to me. Thomas carried out 200 operations on dogs that he himself turned into blue beforehand and was able to create a connection between the blood vessels that treated the disease. He succeeded in proving that the surgery to correct the problem does not lead to death and persuaded Blaylock, who carried out only one experimental surgery in this manner, to help operate on human beings. Thomas adjusted surgical tools so they could be used on human beings. And on the 29th of November, 1944, Vivian Thomas was 34 by then and assisted Blaylock, 45 by then, during surgical operation on an 18-year-old teenager. As per Blaylock's request, Thomas stood behind his shoulder and was guiding his gestures during the operation. After three surgeries, the method was mastered and success was met. The whole world saluted that innovation called anamnesis of Blaylock testis, whatever. Thomas was not mentioned, and his contribution was ignored by Blaylock and the university. Vivian Thomas created other surgical methods and invented instruments for heart operations. Thomas taught several known worldwide surgeons. Underpaid, Vivian had a second job as a waiter and often was serving his own students at the receptions organized by Dr. Blaylock. He ended up by being the highest paid technician of the university and attained an honorary doctorate degree in 1976 before being appointed as a senior surgical instructor. He assisted Levi Watkins when the latter developed an implantable defibrillator. The portrait of Dr. Thomas from there was hung next to the one of Dr. Blaylock in the premises that bears his name. Schools and scholarships for minorities bear his name today. Morgan State University, a university yet supposed to welcome and promote American African people, professional experiments, refused to consider Vivian Thomas' experience and asked him to go through the normal process to complete the medical course in the 40s. When he realized that he could not complete his studies before the age of 55, he abandoned his dream. Vivian Thomas died of pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer. in 1985. The movie Something the Lord Has Made, that's what I was thinking of. The movie Something the Lord Has Made was based on the Thomas's true story, played by Mos Def. May the story of this great Kemite man serve as a lesson, especially to those who have not yet opened their eyes on the greatness of African people. Hotep. Yep. The Lord has made Vivian Thomas. Yeah. I mean, it's just those kinds of things. You know? The greatness of African people. George Washington Carver, you know, he was kidnapped by kidnappers, enslavers. He was castrated. That's why if you go on YouTube, you can hear him. You can hear Dr. George Washington Carver talk. If you go on YouTube, you know, it's one of the places, brother, and you hear how his voice sounds. It just sounds so weird. You know, but he was castrated. But he was brilliant. He was inspired. He was guided. A brilliant man. And worked with George Washington Carver, worked with Booker T. Washington at Tuskegee. And the great things they did there. I got to give credit to Booker T. Washington and Tuskegee, because they did everything themselves. They built the institution. They asked for nothing. They built it brick by brick. They grew their own food. They were self-contained. They were self-supporting. They were self-determining. They were independent. George Washington Carver met many leaders. In fact, Henry Ford used to go down to Tuskegee and visit with George Washington Carver. What an exceptional man. Louis Latimer. Louis Latimer made it possible for lights to stay on and stay on for whatever how amount of time, because Edison's bulbs would burn out. So, yes, he's credited with the electric light, but it is Louis Latimer. In fact, he was the one that they began to ask for when they talked about developing street lights and all kinds of other things. The telephone, another genius, another man of African genius. I remember when I first learned about Louis Latimer, I was, that was that program that I was working with young kids back in the 60s, in the late 60s, 68, 69, in that area. You know, they'd come in, children in that neighborhood called Learn Power. We came because we decided, you know, we teaching the black, I didn't know the black national anthem, learned the black national anthem, learned about Marcus Garvey, didn't know a damn thing about Marcus Garvey. Only person we learned back when I was coming up was George Washington Carver and Booker T. Washington. You didn't learn about anybody who resisted. You ain't gonna learn about Frederick Douglass. He resisted. He kicked the cracker's ass and went to Massachusetts. You ain't gonna learn about nobody who resisted. Sister Armentia, Harriet Tubman, you ain't gonna learn about her. Mm-mm. See? Granville T. Woods. There's a town of Granville, which is an old suburb in Milwaukee. And the suburb was taken over, but there's still some streets there, and one of them is Granville Woods, you know. And I thought to myself, they named a street after Granville Woods, a little industrial area, you know. No, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. But he changed, you know, the rail system, communications. Even the roller coaster. Granville Woods was an electronic genius. Electronic genius. Garrett Morgan, of course, was somebody who I admire because, he made the first gas mask. That helped me on my job as a firefighter. It was Garrett Morgan. made it possible for you. In fact, there was an accident, but he used his gas mask to go in into a tunnel and rescue some people. He built the stoplight that we see today, Garrett Morgan. In D.C., there's a train on the metro station, the Garrett Morgan station. I remember when I was going to Million Man March, taking the train on the metro. In fact, it was the anniversary in 2005. Because it was 1995, it's Million Man March in 2005, then 2015. So I don't know about 2025. It's coming up. And to me, they shouldn't have it. Because it's embarrassing, the lack of progress in the 30 years. It's embarrassing. And I don't think the minister can make the call. I don't think people will show. Because they really didn't show up for the 20th. They really didn't. They showed up for the 10th. The 20th was held in a different area. It was smaller. So, our history. History is important. Man, I'm looking at the website for the piece I'm going to read about for the Black Panthers. And it's Liberty Writers for Africa. And they got a promotion for supporting Israel. Where you could give support to Israel and you'll get a free pin with American flag and Israeli flag. Register today. You gotta be mad. That is some bull. Man, let me get that. Israel, stop it. Man. But there's, Liberty Writers Africa is another good website that you can go to. It's pretty decent. So the history of the Black Panther Party, and I know that the Black Panther Party, when it was started, the effect that it has across the nation, because it was militant. The Black Power movement was doing what it was doing, but it was not effective. The Black Power movement challenged the civil rights movement, challenged the people who were leading in the civil rights movement. And I want to say this about the Black Panther Party, the Black Power movement, the civil rights movement. All of it was designed to appeal to Caucasians for change, begging crackers to change. It wasn't going to happen because there was no African-centered component. There was no Pan-African component. That's why it failed, as far as I'm concerned. It failed because if the people are still in the same position that we are today, and that was years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. But the Black Panther Party was started because of police brutality in the San Francisco, Oakland area, in the Bay Area. That was the bottom line. It was, but police brutality and the authority in this country, that is historic. They always have been dogging us out. In fact, many of us said that the police are really the captive catchers. When we escape our captivity, they were patrolling and they were the ones catching us. So, yeah, the captive catchers. So this lack of progress, this whole situation should tell us that Yes. Those organizations did what they did, but we have to take a step further. We have to heighten. We have to move. And believe me, time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. The Black Panther Party for Defense. It's your black leather jacket, black turtleneck or whatever, and a tam. You ready to go, brother and sisters. Your fro, you ready to go. You know, I wasn't in the Black Panther Party to that extent. I went to a few meetings. Went to a few meetings of the Republic of New Africa. You know, went through some marches. But whatever I did, it helped me. Shaped me to be the man that I am and the consciousness that I have. Yeah, you know, got hung up in the 70s. But I came on the fire department and that changed. That afforded me the ability to read and organize, get involved. I was getting involved on a local level with some issues. Brother Ernie Lacey was killed by the police. Got involved with the NAACP. Got involved with many other organizations, started organizations. Got involved with 100 Black Men. Started a local chapter. Got involved. These support Israel things are killing me. The history of the Black Panther Party in America is traced to the movement formed by two American African revolutionaries in the latter part of the 20th century known as the Black Panther Party. The activities of the Black Panther Party were aimed at tackling the failure of the civil rights movement to improve the conditions of African people. And just the fact that it was. We consistently beg for inclusion and to be treated right, to be fair, and to get rid of the laws and the de facto and the injusto segregation. Didn't happen. It persists. It's still that way today, because that's who they are. We thought that we could use moral persuasion. We thought that we could appeal to them in a way that they would understand and respect our humanity. It didn't happen. It ain't happening now, because it ain't gonna happen. The Black Panther history. The party was founded in 1966 in Oakland. Was the brainchild of Huey Newton and Bobby Seals, Huey P. Newton. These American revolutionaries drew from the tenets of Malcolm X and the philosophies. I tell you, Malcolm X. Yeah. You know, he was a dynamic influence as well as Marcus Garvey on a lot of, and not just in the States, but globally. And the philosophies of the Black Power Movement, two men adopted Malcolm's slogan, freedom by any means necessary. The Black Panther Party also drew inspiration from Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture, who was a black nationalist, an African nationalist. He coined the phrase Black Power, which later became the group's outreach cry. In 1965, he founded the party. The political party had the Black Panther as its emblem. The Black Panther later adopted that emblem. The image of the Black Panther is a symbol of black power. The panther is an animal that represents power and protection. This animal is a symbol of valor, courage, and determination, and these attributes clearly define the underlying principles of which the movement was founded. And you see, Bobby Seale and Huey, they both strapped, you know. The Black Panther Party was an American African revolutionary organization with the initial goal of patrolling our communities in order to protect residents from police brutality. The party was focused on facing police brutality and advocating social change. The party was active in the United States. between 1966 and 1982, with chapters in major cities across this country and international chapters in Britain and even in Algeria. The unofficial uniform of the Black Panther Party, the unofficial uniform, was a black leather jacket, a big afro, and a black beret. You know, the boots and all the other stuff was, you know, but if you had the black leather jacket and your fro, and you had your Panther tam tilt to the side, your fro, yeah. The Black Panther Party originally was founded with the aim of providing self-defense for the American African communities. Because of their constant violations of rights encountered by the hands of the police. As the American African Panther movement progressed, apart from protecting the American African citizens from police brutality, the members confronted politicians and also created community service programs known as survival programs, which made provisions for food, clothing, and transportation for our people. The women in the local chapters of the Panthers groups focused, I remember, I remember that whole week. I was serving breakfast and serving food for that whole week. Yeah. In the basement of a Catholic church, St. Boniface. St. Boniface Church, located right by North Division High School in Milwaukee. The organization, a free breakfast program for 20,000 children each day, as well as free food programs for families and the aged. They sponsored schools, legal aid offices, clothing distributions, local transportation and health clinics, and sickle cell testing centers in several cities. These activities provided concrete aid to low-income communities and drew support from the Black Panthers. The breakfast program. The group agitated for social change through progressions of arms for the purpose of defense. The Black Panther Party members reached its peak in 1970. Offices in 68 cities and thousands of members, but the numbers began to decline over the following decade. After the leaders and members were vilified by the press, public support declined, and the group became more isolated. In the conclusion, this 39 years since the Black Panther Party was disbanded by the federal government of this country, through the oppression, intimidation, and setups by the police and the FBI, and nothing has changed. The police brutality, which the Black Panthers hoped to quench in their time, had grown even more fierce and bold. Every day we are greeted with news of a Caucasian police officer killing and harassing black people. This constant killing of American African people by Caucasian cops has led to the formation of Black Lives Matter, which many see as a resurgence of the Black Panther Party. I don't. Only that this time, they do not bear arms for self-defense. This is only shows us that white America has not changed from its racist ways and might never change. Oh no, it'll never change. Well, there will ever be a time when the black man is free from police harassment and extrajudicial killings in America? No. That question is for the killers and all people of good faith to answer. And my contention is, as long as you're in this madness, hell nah. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Talk whatever you want to talk about. If you have like history ideas that you tend to program, you felt that it was right on, not just entertaining, but educational and informative and inspiring. Let us know. I wish that we could, at least on the so-called station that we have, you know, during the month of February, have programs with speakers and so forth, that so our people could, you know, and they're coordinated. So it's, you know, opportunity for our brothers and sisters who want to hear, want to know, want to be informed, want something on their mind, you know. Yeah. But I'm going to try to highlight people each month, like we put some tribute to Dr. Amos Wilson. I know next month is Dr. Walter Rodney's birthday. We'll talk about him. I know he doesn't get a lot of talk. He doesn't get a lot of discussion. He was dynamic. Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. Her birthday's next month as well. So I know that I'll talk about those two, put some emphasis on their lives and their contributions and their relevance to today, because all these great historians are relevant to today. All of them are. All of these men and women who made tremendous sacrifice, some of them, you know, tremendous sacrifice to their careers, and some of them, you know, family and their financial situation, all of them. Because they understood what has to be done. And so to them, it has to be done. So if I don't get the promotion, you know, sacrifices have to be made for us. And nobody's going to do it but us. It is our responsibility to step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed on us to do for ourselves. It is ours. It is ours. I have a few people on the queue. Give us hit star twice. Hit star twice and you can join the conversation. A lot of times people of course call just to listen, and I see a number of them. But I know that's what they're doing, and that's great, and I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate those who listen, those who listen online. You know, I'm surprised that many people are listening online, you know. And I try to discuss some topics and have some guests that will be further informing and enlightening and inspirational, whatever. Because we need this. We need this. Bad. Like I said, we're bombarded 24/7, 365. All the information that you see, the news, local, national, print, electronic, all of it. And many of us think that, hey, you know, don't bother me none. You know, I'm doing well. Because you're trained to think individually. Individualism is a European, Caucasian, white desire. But collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. That's who we are. We have shown historically that we are a collective people. Ubuntu. Doc Rivers, when he was with Boston in 2009, they beat my Lakers. 2009, Ubuntu. With Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Perkins. Playoff Rondo, Big Baby Davis, yeah, they beat my Lakers. And then the Lakers came back, they won, and they beat them in 11. Lakers beat Orlando, then they beat Boston. Oh, God, I'm so happy. Yeah. But they use that Ubuntu together. You've seen the picture of the young brothers making sure that their feet in that circle are uniform. So if you were taller, you bend your knees up some. If you were shorter, you got closer, because they wanted to make that circle perfect with their feet all together. Ubuntu. Together. Whatever I got to do to adjust myself to be together. 404-404-697. Good afternoon.
Hey, Baba Oshi.
Yes. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Satabia.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the show. I mean, the program, I think it's really great. And we're really powerful, righteous people. And it's stand up. The Black Panther Party, I salute the Black Panther Party. I think they were very courageous and true freedom fighters, and they dedicated to the community and did wonderful things that you mentioned, like the food programs and also teaching self-defense. And so I just wanted to say I think they were very brave and courageous, you know, and that they really got attacked by COINTELPRO, which affected so many of our struggles. And I know you had mentioned that, I think I heard you to say that you felt that they were an organization that was begging white people, and I wasn't.
Who the Black Panther?
Did I hear you? That's what I thought.
No,
I heard you to say.
No. If I've said that, I apologize. I know the Black Panthers weren't begging nobody. You know, if they had some benefactors, I guess that was cool and they kept that on the low, you know, but they initiated all the programs. You know, they initiated the sickle cell testing piece, the food program, all of those things,
I think maybe it was begging the white people to accept them.
That was the civil rights. That's what I meant by that. And that whole movement, that's what happened there. You know, that we're constantly begging white folks to change their minds, to change their attitudes, to change their behavior as it relates to us.
Right.
Not just white folks in general, but particularly the police department and government. And of course, it didn't happen because it's not going to happen. And but yet we consistently hold out hope and pray and march and, you know, thinking that some way, somehow, we can beat these folks down and it's going to happen. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. I have zero faith. Zero. Not a one bit. Especially in light of what you're seeing happening today. When you have all of these voter suppression bills that have been passed across this country. Right. You know? And here, as ridiculous as the Republican Party has been, and with the things that these people have said, that this Republican Party is probably going to take the House of Representatives and may take the Senate. I don't think the Senate, because I don't think these elections will have an effect on the Senate. I don't know. They might. But whatever, that they're going to take all of this back, and maybe even without Trump now, because I don't think Trump, number one, should be even running. They should have been done past the law. Huh?
Yeah, I think we get bombarded and perpetuated with that media thing with Trump, because I get really, you know, I think they get promoted, and the media is just in such cahoots and so racist with their presentations and things.
Yeah, so, but see, Trump should not even be able to run for office. Right away, the electorate should get together, whether it's the House or the Senate or both, saying, if you don't show your taxes for 3 years coming up, you can't run for president. And if your ass is if you're a habitual liar, we keep catching you in lies, we can automatically induce Amendment 25, which is, of course, is to remove from office for malfeasance and, you know.
just the criminal activity is just accepted and promoted because they all in cahoots.
Yeah.
And I think the media is the diabolical in their presentations, because I was just hearing today about what's going on in with
Ukraine.
Ukraine, mm-hmm. And it's Africans over there. There's African students and Nigerian students.
Right.
And they're not letting them leave. They're pushing them aside and saying, no, the white Ukrainians, they're the ones that we let escape from this war.
Right.
I thought that was an abomination, but you don't hear that in the news. You just hear all these wonderful white people and the media tries to have you all supporting the white people, but this is what they're perpetrating. Not to mention what they're perpetrating here with us here in United Snakes. And,
right.
You know, we all all support and whatever empathy to go to the white Ukrainians, and this is what's happening over there. And the media, I think they just, you know, in a diabolical plot.
Sure. Well, that's why I advocate doing for ourselves. That's why everything that must be done for us, we do ourselves. That's why I'm saying that we go back home, we control the continent, we control the land, we control the resources, we control the media, we control the behavior. Yes. Yes.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So I don't expect, you know, and when I hear some mistreatment by other governments and other entities against us, yeah, because that's the mindset. It's just like here, the Chinese are treated well by us on the continent, but we treat them like dogs in China. To hell with the Chinese.
That's what I'm saying. It's such a hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
You know. So, you know, if anything for this this Black History Month should have told us that when they put water holes on us, when they ran us down on Bloody Sunday, when they did what they did, when they shot us up in like with the Republic of New Africa, you know.
Yeah, don't forget.
Yeah, with right. Baba Kima and Mama Tamu down there in Jackson, Mississippi, with all the things that they have done. When they did what they did to the Black Panther Party, the infiltration to disrupt the party, what you've seen in the Judas Factor with Fred Hampton. I mean, all of these things, this government, the government of the United Snakes, has been responsible for making these things happen. So I don't think they'll ever change the way they are. In fact, they become more entrenched because their numbers are dwindling. They feel that they're losing it.
They are.
You know? You know? And so whatever they got to do to maintain and to, you know, that's what they're going to do.
And I think we, during this Black History Month, because we had so many courageous freedom fighters and brave, and doing just work for the people, and I think during the Black History Month, it's good for us to study so we can learn from what you know, what they did that really propelled us forward, and other but some of the blockades were, and I think that's going to be helpful too. So I salute having the Black History Month and just studying, because the Black History Month, like, they did a lot of good things and they had a lot of history.
Well, see,
so we have to remember that too.
Yeah,
and in addition, you know, to, you know, what all the setbacks and things. So they did a lot of good stories.
Well, that's the thing. You learn from victories and failures. You learn from that. And for us as a people, our history is 24/7. But at least we understood that this month is a focus, because we're bombarded every day in the school system, on television, in our job, all throughout this system, we're bombarded with anti-Africanism, with the failure of Black people.
They wanted to take Black history out of the school.
You know,
take it out of the curriculum, but
what they said,
they felt that the white people did not have to be part of it.
Exactly. So what they said, realistically, Sister Abia, what they said is that if you want your child not to learn Black history,
it's okay.
Maybe you'll say, okay, good. I don't want them to learn that shit. Good. You know? But we don't have the option. We've never had the option. If you don't want to learn U.S. It's demanded that you learn about their greatness.
Yeah, their so-called greatness, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's demanded. You have to. Those are requirements. Those aren't, you know, something that you could, no, maybe not. No, you got to. There are civics, all of these things.
Right.
Others are selectives. Those are some demands. You know, you got to learn about, you know, how great these people are and their movement westward and their, you know, their.
how they killed everybody.
Yeah,
and stole
their land. you got to learn about them. And in their mindset, the ends justified the means. So in the end, we have a great society. So the means by which we did it might not have been good, but they're justified.
It was deplorable.
You know, yes, we killed a whole bunch of people, wiped them out, and stole it. Yeah,
we didn't have nothing.
Right, but because now we're in the position, you know. So, yeah.
Well, you're about to be annihilated anyway. So, I think it's good. I appreciate all the program and all the history lessons and hearing about all the. I think it's important.
I do too.
It's still gonna help us moving toward our freedom. All the
right
things that you're telling us about, all the geniuses we had in medicine and science.
Yeah.
And so I think that's inspiring for us and. You know, help us even promote our Pan-Africanism even more because we have all these great gifts and arts and talents.
Well,
and,
see
and
that
move forward
that lets you
being
know
being aware of the oppression.
Yes,
you got to be aware of it. A lot of people not aware of it. So when people talk and teach and do all whatever methods they use, and you know, it can be helpful.
I agree because that's what it's there
it
for.
Helpful.
That's why we got to learn.
That's why
it's important that we do it. You know. I thank you so
Absolutely.
Much, my sister. I appreciate you. All right, dear.
Yeah, I appreciate your program.
All right. Okay, my sister, you have a blessed day.
Yeah, before Hodier.
Before Hodier, a victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Ashe. Peace. Ashe. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahadier. Before it means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You come back with us on Wednesday. All right, family, have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace.